This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
Look, I know I don't look like myself, okay? But something really strange happened, and I'm really scared. I need you to help me, my best friend! I can prove it to you! Oh! The space goes down, down, baby, down, down the roller coaster. Sweet, sweet, baby, sweet, sweet, don't let me go. Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop, shimmy, shimmy, rock. Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa pop, shimmy, shimmy, rock. I met a girlfriend, a Triscuit. She said a Triscuit, a biscuit, ice cream, soda, pop, vanilla, on top. Ooh, Shalita, walking down the street, 10 times a week. I met it, I said it, I stole my mama's credit. I'm cool, I'm hot, suck you in the stomach 3 more times.
Josh. BFM 89.9, it's 7:37 and you're listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and joining me in the studio, Shamila Ganesan, and at home is Arvind Yuvaraj, and together we all just listened to a grown man terrorize a little child, and we all thought it was plenty charming, and that's because it was done so beautifully by the subject of today's show, Tom Hanks.
When has Tom Hanks ever not been likable? Honestly, I mean, way back from, well, that's not his first sort of big screen debut. I suppose the one everyone remembers him as coming in from is from Splash. But it's like the man is likable in every single thing he's done.
Yeah, like grizzled, hardened criminal Tom Hanks. Baddest man on the planet, Tom Hanks. So I actually remember him from Toy Story. That's the first time I got to know Tom Hanks, because I saw Toy Story when I was, what, like 7 or 8? And then I started to look at his other movies and stuff. But that was my introduction to him. And it's like you said, he is, I think, one of the, not just one of the nicest actors, one of the best actors on the planet. He is one of the nicest people. We did the review for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood a couple of days ago, and we spoke about how suitable they both were, Fred Rogers and Tom Hanks. And it's so weird that someone can be a celebrity and so nice at the same time.
Yeah, his public persona, I think, has definitely kind of maintained that level of burnished niceness over the years. It's never really diminished. And just to say, we are going to be spending the entire show really talking about different facets of Tom Hanks's career. But if you would like to share your favorite Tom Hanks movies and why, importantly, why, please let us know. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And also get in touch if you disagree with the entire premise of our show and you just do not like Tom Hanks at all, because we would also like to know the reason for that.
Yeah. But Arvind actually raised an interesting point, because I think the way you like Tom Hanks depends on who your first Tom Hanks was, where you first saw him, or what character you first were introduced to him as. And for me, it's a toss between, because I really can't remember. It must have been Big, because it came out before Philadelphia. And Big and Splash kind of sit adjacent to each other. And in both of them, he's got this wide-eyed, innocent, you know, I'm thrown into a world that I don't quite understand, but I'm such a nice person that everyone I meet can't help but like me. That for me is, it basically frames how I see him even today, you know, 30 odd years later. What was your first Hanks, Lynn?
My first is You've Got Mail, which is something that I'm going to be discussing, I think, in a bit more detail later on, because we're going to be talking about our top three picks, right, each for Tom Hanks's career, because it is a huge career. I mean, he has been active in the industry since the 1980s, early 1980s, and is continuing to make movies such as Greyhound up till today. And so the point being that it is a long career. And so there is a lot to talk about. But mine was definitely, You've Got Mail, Joe Fox.
So both of you guys actually have slightly later Tom Hanks, I guess. Mine was like super early, because I don't know, TV2 was hugely formative in my early movie watching experiences. But I think the thing with Tom Hanks, the same way with Fred Rogers, is that question of how can anyone really be that nice? Can anyone be so free of controversy, so perpetually nice all the time? And for some reason or other, he really does seem to be.
I hope we're not jinxing it.
I know. I hope, like, and next week something comes out. Yeah.
Some big expose is going to hit the news. I want to say newsstands, but newsstands don't actually exist anymore. But it's going to hit the news and everyone's going to know all the dirty secrets about Tom Hanks. And I hope not. I honestly hope not. But also, when talking about, like, his long career and how many years he's been in Hollywood and stuff, it's interesting that although he's played many different roles, you can sort of associate all his roles with each other. That doesn't make him he is one of the best actors we have alive today.
He's consistent. I think that's an important point.
He's very, very, very consistent with his roles. And I don't think he has sort of diverted as much or gone off on, like, weird tangents like a lot of other actors have done. There's not a lot of experimentation that has happened with his career.
Well, I don't know about that, because he does have forays into less commercially successful movies. And the reason why we're not talking about them or why they might not have come to mind is because of, well, that, you know, they were just less commercially successful. So I'm thinking here of things like The Lady Killers or For That Matter, Cloud Atlas, which we will get to, Charlie Wilson's War. I think there are some movies that Tom Hanks has done, usually ones where he's played against type. Because I think Tom Hanks can go unlikable, but he can't go villainous. I've never seen Tom Hanks play a villain where I thought, you know, yeah, I totally buy into this America's Dad.
So I think he's got that that quality that we talked about when we talked about Stars, where there is a through line with all of his characters. Like you said, Armin, there's a Tom Hanks-ness. No matter who he plays, there's the likability, the warmth, the relatability. He's not so good looking that he doesn't look like a real person, but he's good looking and nice looking enough that you kind of want him around in your life. And the same goes for his performance. So I think we kind of overlook the experimentation he's done, or it almost seems like it's not experimentation at all, because actually, if you compare a Philadelphia to a Catch Me If You Can to a Captain Phillips, they are very, very different movies. But they all seem like Tom Hanks movies, and it's almost like it's a genre unto itself.
Because he's a movie star.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. So because he's such a top-line headliner, the through line in those movies becomes Tom Hanks, which is funny, because, like you rightly point out, the everyman quality of his face and his appearance is partly what allows him to have done so many of the different roles that we've been talking about. And yet, after seeing him be, you know, a captain, and after seeing him be all the things that Forrest Gump was, and, you know, after seeing him do all these things, yet somehow here we are saying, yeah, you know, maybe not that versatile. When in fact, it really, there is a lot. I mean, in the early days, I don't think people thought that he was going to make the transition from comedy into drama.
Yeah. Do you want to see him play a villain, though? Like, do you want to see him play, like, a bad, bad guy? Because he has range. If you look at, I'm forgetting the name of the pumpkin guy he plays on SNL. But if you...
That underrated role.
Yes, yes. That one indie role that he stretched his acting muscle for. But when he played that, there's a lot of range, because he comes off as Tommy Lee Jones in Batman Forever, sort of. So he can do those roles. I don't know why he just hasn't. But I would be interested to see him play, like, a villain, because someone who is capable of being so nice is obviously capable of playing a very villainous role, in the sense that you wouldn't expect him to be the bad guy.
I'm really torn because I think I fully buy into the, I'm not going to say America's Dad, I'm going to say, like, the world's dad thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't quite know if it's, like, all fun, well and good to imagine. Oh, wouldn't it be fun? I don't know whether I'd relate to it and like it.
I relate to it on a funsies level. I want to see it for funsies.
Yeah.
But okay, so we are going to close off this particular segment with a clip of, so we opened with Big. We are going to close off now with that transition, that exact transition we were talking about when Tom Hanks showed that he could be a serious dramatic actor. And in fact, one that he won an Academy Award
for his first one.
So yeah, keep them coming. We have messages coming through already about Tom Hanks. Let us know if you like Tom Hanks, what your favorite Tom Hanks movies or moments are, and if you just hate the guy. Let us know as well. That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Here's a little bit of Philadelphia.
Are you a good lawyer, Andrew?
I'm an excellent lawyer.
What makes you an excellent lawyer?
I love the law. I know the law. I excel at practicing.
What do you love about the law, Andrew?
Many things. What I love the most about the law?
Yes.
Is that every now and again, not often, but occasionally, you get to be a part of justice being done. That really is quite a thrill when that happens.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Hello. My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump. Do you want a chocolate? I could eat about 1.5 million of these. My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
BFM 89.9, it's 7:49, and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And tonight we are talking about all things Tom Hanks. We are dedicating our entire supercut to the guy. We just reviewed yesterday, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which is not his latest, but one of. Mm. And so we wanted to take the opportunity to just look at a four decades almost at this point in time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more than all, nearing four decades now.
Yeah. Pretty much. So we have been asking you for your favorites. And I'm glad that we had a little bit of Forrest there, because we have Ian saying, I especially love Tom Hanks and Forrest Gump. And then the quote, my mama said, life is like a box of chocolates.
It's amazing how many iconic lines and scenes Tom Hanks has birthed, right? And I mean, I'm sure we're going to go through some of them. But life is like a box of chocolates is one of them. Run, Forrest, run is another. Just that film has like at least three or four that people remember.
I mean, they opened a restaurant for Forrest Gump.
Sure, right.
Like, have you guys been to like Bubba Gump and stuff?
Of course I've been to Bubba Gump.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like the first time I saw that restaurant, I was like, did they just build this because of the movie? Like, is this like Forrest's restaurant? But it's so sweet. It's so sweet that you could see his quotes like all over the place, and they'd be like on those like those signages, those metal tin signs and stuff.
Shrimp are the fruits of the sea.
Yes.
And Forrest Gump is interesting because, as you mentioned, Lynn, before we went on break, Philadelphia was where this actor that everybody had kind of gotten to know as the good guy, the best friend, the sweet, you know, wide-eyed guy, became the lawyer. You know, Philadelphia was about a man struggling with AIDS, a man who was gay and was discriminated against and lost his job. And so it was a very intense, serious role. And it was this huge flip. And then Forrest Gump, which is 1 year later where he won his second Oscar, it's almost like those two parts of him merged. And Forrest Gump is this deep, intense, but also the sort of likable, sweet, innocent aspect of Tom Hanks. And I mean, Forrest Gump is just, I don't know anyone who's watched that film and not been charmed by his performance.
Oh, I mean, that is like, it is like a gut punch. And a lot of people like quote the famous parts of Forrest Gump. But I don't know how much we can spoil that movie, or if people are going to check out the movie after this, for those who haven't seen it. But there is one scene towards the third act where you really get to see like Tom Hanks flexing that acting muscle. Again, I can't say what it is, but if you know, you'd know. Mm-hmm. And it's a very sad scene, and it's a very touching scene. And that's when you get to know, like, this movie isn't just about the comedy or just him being who he is. There's a lot more to it, and there's a lot more to Tom Hanks as an actor as well.
Yeah, so Tom Hanks said that he accepted the role of Forrest Gump, which, by the way, John Travolta passed on, did you know? Which is a
would
bit
have
of
been
a
very different movie.
Yeah, yeah. Right? But Tom Hanks said that he wanted to do the role of Forrest Gump because he viewed it as something that the entire family could go and get that soaring heart feeling. I mean, he didn't call it soaring heart feeling because he's more articulate than I am. But he essentially talked about wanting that feeling that you can get in the cinema. And I think Forrest Gump, of all movies, really does provide that. If you've ever wanted to see Tom Hanks play ping pong also, that movie's for you.
Or doing the Elvis.
So we have a caller on the line. We have Nina. Nina, good evening. You want to talk about Tom Hanks?
Yeah, sure.
So what is your favorite? Okay,
First of all, I'm a big Keanu Reeves fan. So Tom Hanks and Keanu Reeves are the nicest people in Hollywood, I would say. So Tom Hanks is an actor that I can watch any movie of his. I'm not a big fan at all. But when I watch his movie, I can layan lah. That's why.
Tom Hanks is extremely layanable.
Mm-hmm. But I don't like Forrest Gump. It makes me boring and I fell asleep halfway. But I love The Lady Killers.
What is it about The Lady Killers that you like?
Oh my God, I've never seen him act in such a weird role. You know, Tom Hanks don't do such role. Maybe you can see Johnny Depp do such role. But not Tom Hanks. He's a villain in that movie, but not the obvious villain. But he's a bad guy. Really, really bad guy, if you know about it. And the way he acted is so awesome. Me and my brother keep watching it and laughing so much. Enjoy the movie so much. He's acting, oh my God. And one of you mentioned the movie earlier, right?
Yes. As an offbeat role that Tom Hanks did.
It was so awesome. I don't know why people hardly mention it. It's a great acting movie. I think better than Castaway.
Ooh, wow. Okay, that is a big call.
That is a left field opinion right there.
because he didn't do such roles. You see, he do dramatic roles, you know, sad roles, funny, happy. But that one is a dark comedy genre. Mm-hmm. I think he did an excellent job. My brother introduced me to the movie and I'm like, oh my God, I love this movie.
Cool. Nina, thank you so much for calling and for sharing that. And actually, The Lady Killers was a Coen Brothers movie as well, which I think would explain that kind of weird tone. We do also have this voice note that's come in from Amri, who wants to talk about, I guess, Tom Hanks also doing not necessarily such a nice guy role. And here it is.
Hi. Since you guys are talking about Tom Hanks and how he's such a nice guy, I'm kind of reminded about one of, you know, my favorite films, Road to Perdition, which he was in. And even that, he was this ruthless gangster killer, but, you know, you still love him in it. So he was kind of like lovable gangster. So that was kind of ironic.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that, Amri. And yes, actually, Tom Hanks, I think Road to Perdition, a very important element is that you have to be able to somewhat sympathize with his character, because otherwise it's a pretty tough film.
I think it's interesting that both the films that Nina and Amri just mentioned, they are very much director's movies. One is Sam Mendes and one is, of course, the Coen brothers. And I think that's actually something that Tom Hanks does very well. I'd like to think, because he's such a nice guy, I think he's a great director's
actor.
You're
just very invested in this nice guy narrative.
I am. But I think that makes him a director's actor. I think that he's very directable and he works very well with directors and storytellers to tell the story that they want to tell.
Nina actually put an idea in my head when she said Keanu Reeves. And I'm thinking, like, both of the nicest guys in Hollywood in one movie, John Wick 4, Tom Hanks is the bad guy and Keanu Reeves is the good guy. Baba Yaga, whatever you want to call it. Both Baba Yagas.
So here's the question. Do we want to see Keanu Reeves beating up Tom Hanks?
I don't want any of this. You guys are ruining it for me. I do like The Lady Killers, I'll say, but no.
Guys, please weigh in. Is this a movie you want to see made? You know, Arvin is single-handedly pushing this forward. Do you want to see Tom Hanks in John Wick 4 as the villain? Do you want to see Keanu Reeves potentially beating up Tom Hanks? But also more seriously, let us know your favorite Tom Hanks moments. That number to call is 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this from Richard, who wants to say that Tom Hanks is my all-time favorite actor. My favorite, Forrest Gump. He's so adorable in this. And Saving Private Ryan, I cried.
For sure.
Oh, I don't think I can talk about Saving Private Ryan again. When we did our war segment, it was already bad. But Tom Hanks is such an important part of that movie, even though you don't actually remember him as much as perhaps you do some of the other actors.
I mean, can you even watch Tom Hanks and not cry? Like, can you watch that movie and not like sort of shed a tear, a single tear at least?
There's a lot that I want to say actually about Forrest Gump, because I understand why Nina feels the way she feels, in that Forrest, I think if you're used to sort of more fast talking characters, for instance, what you just heard, that's the pace he maintains throughout the film. So I understand that in some instances, it is a slower... It's weird because a lot of stuff happens, but it could also be perceived as a slower movie. And I think you do need a very likable, very charming anchor. Otherwise, it's tough. But we are going to come back for more Tom Hanksery. Now, though, closing off this particular segment is, this is really for Richard, because we're bookending his two favorites. Here is a little bit of Saving Private Ryan.
Back home, and I tell people what I do for a living. They think, well, now that figures. But over here, it's a big mystery. So I guess I've changed some. Sometimes I wonder if I've changed so much, my wife is even going to recognize me whenever it is I get back to her. And how I'll ever be able to tell her about days like today. Ryan, I don't know anything about Ryan. I don't care. Man means nothing to me. It's just a name. But if, you know, if going to Rommel and finding him so he can go home, if that earns me the right to get back to my wife, well, then that's my mission.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
Wilson! Wilson! I'm sorry! I'm sorry, Wilson! Wilson, I'm sorry! I'm sorry! Wilson! I can't! Wilson!
BFM 89.9, it is 8:07 and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvin. And we're talking tonight about Tom Hanks, his career and also his appeal, because it has lasted over decades now. And we've been asking you for your favourites. You can let us know, what are your favourite Tom Hanks movies, or do you just not really engage with him much at all? Do you actively dislike him even? You know, do get in touch. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio and call 773-2900. We were talking earlier about the memeability of Tom Hanks, and I think Wilson is one of the big ones.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't remember Wilson? I mean, I think every time now when volleyball comes up, when the brand of Wilson comes up, when Tom Hanks comes up, someone's going to yell out, Wilson! And though listening to that scene, I mean, I remember how sad I was, how incredibly sad I was when I watched that in the cinema. And that's a testament to what a great actor Tom Hanks is in that movie, that he gets that reaction from you when a volleyball floats away.
Because it's all him. Yeah. That Castaway is all mm-hmm. him, you know, like pretty much 90% of the movie is really just that.
That was like his Revenant for Leo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Only difference is I didn't fall asleep at Castaway.
Only difference is I actually like Castaway.
All right. Yeah. All right.
But it's the first time I cried in the cinema, the volleyball. And when that happened, when Wilson, that scene with Wilson happened, I was like, what is happening? I'm not supposed to have these emotions in the cinema. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the first time that it hits you, and it hits you that hard. And again, like you said, it's because of Tom Hanks, because the ball's not doing anything.
How dare you?
It's Wilson.
Honestly, best supporting actor. Just to say that on Twitter, at least, Nora Fifa as well as Kieran have both sent in GIFs of Castaway, one involving Wilson. So yes, at least seems to be quite a popular choice for favourite Tom Hanks movie. And the truth is that we shouldn't really be asking people this question without also, you know, volunteering our own favourites. So let's get to it. In the meantime, do keep those coming. We have some messages that we've not read yet. But yeah, tell us your favourite Tom Hanks movies. 773-2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
And that's the pause that indicates now I have to face my existential crisis of picking three favorite Tom Hanks movies. I gave it a lot of thought, and there's so many that I'm going to name check just because I love them. Things like Green Mile or Catch Me If You Can, where it's just beautiful, sparkling comedy between him and Leonardo. But I think finally I narrowed it down to my first Tom Hanks, which was Big, as I mentioned. Just that contrast of just how beautifully he makes you believe that he really is a 13-year-old in an adult man's body. That scene where he plays on the huge piano in F.A.O. Schwartz with his boss. There's so many moments in that film where it just shines. And that was like literally his second big screen outing, and he's so good in it. Second is Philadelphia. Just because that movie breaks my heart every time I watch it. Again, him and Denzel Washington. I've talked about this movie several times, I feel, weirdly enough, in different contexts. But the story, the performance, the direction, and Tom Hanks, just, you know, at the beginning of the film, he is the Tom Hanks we know. By the end of the film, he is this shell of a man who's withering away before we see him. And he plays that so, so well. And finally, Forrest Gump. And I think we talked so much about Forrest Gump already, but I cannot. It's become a little unfashionable to like Forrest Gump now. It's seen to be a little bit twee. But it's such a feel-good movie about a person who's just every inch of nice. And I can watch that movie over and over again.
So I think my first is also Forrest Gump. I'm just going to say that. I think that's my favorite Tom Hanks film. Maybe except Toy Story. Mm-hmm. When you put Toy Story in the scenario, I'm always going to pick Toy Story, even though it doesn't have live action Tom Hanks. But because it's my first introduction to Tom Hanks, it has a lot of sentimental value. So I'll go for that. But my favorite is Forrest Gump for all the same reasons. At that point, I hadn't seen another actor show so much range and make me feel things, like just happiness, sadness, all kinds of things in the span of like one movie. Just a good film, like overall. Castaway is also one of my favorites. I think in my top three easily, because, you know, he just carries the whole movie literally on his back. Not many other people help him to perform and, you know, get that movie going. Definitely Castaway and Apollo 13, I think. I love Apollo 13.
Interesting.
I can watch that movie like any number of times. And it's because of Tom Hanks and the performance he gives. He allows you to believe that they're actually in space. He allows you to believe that they're actually in danger. And he's not an action star. It's an action-ish film. It's a disaster-ish film. But Tom Hanks doesn't play it as such. He brings a lot of drama to it. He brings a lot of gravitas to it. And I think he alone sort of takes the film from a normal blockbuster to a way more sort of like quality drama standard. So I love him in Apollo 13. So those are like my top three.
I just want to say that we haven't yet mentioned this. I think, Sharmila, you briefly touched on it. But Tom Hanks has also worked with a lot of really big directors, and he's done it repeatedly. So, for example, like Robert Zemeckis, he's worked with in a few big roles, Forrest Gump, as well as Castaway. Mm-hmm. Steven Spielberg, I think he's done 5 movies with him. Yeah. And Ron Howard, he's also worked with repeatedly. So just to say that he does return to some favourites, and I think it's quite interesting to see the way different directors direct Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. By far, I think the most effective is Steven Spielberg. I think that that's a really, really fruitful collaboration. And it's very easy for me to almost say that all three of my favorites would be coming from there, except I'm not going to do that. But I really do love Bridge of Spies, for instance. I love Bridge of Spies. It's so excellent. And enough now of the preamble. So Saving Private Ryan, for reasons already stated, just one of the best war movies. And I think this whole the person who can represent the toll of war on good people. I think when you want that performance, you get Tom Hanks. I also really love A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. It's very fresh.
It made your list.
It did.
Wow.
Because I want to return to it.
Yeah.
Very few movies have made me want to go back to the start from the moment it ends. And I think the combination of Marielle Heller, whose direction I love, and Tom Hanks, who puts in such a weird, wonderful performance, that combines it. But my first Tom Hanks is going to be also in my top three, maybe even my top. And it is You've Got Mail. Again, I know it's become increasingly unfashionable to dunk on You've Got Mail. It is a little bit catfishy. It is a little bit, you know, pro-capitalism. I understand all those criticisms. But it was the first time that I understood why Tom Hanks is a movie star. It's the first time I recognized that he had star power. And also, I like it because it's a very nice performance, but it's really prickly. He's not a nice person in that. It, you know, at many, many turns in that movie, he makes the wrong choice. He is nasty. And I think you can only... And he gets away with it. And I think a lot of people don't even notice that Joe Fox is not that great a person because you have Tom Hanks not playing against type, but willing to kind of wriggle around in the mud a little bit. So, and also just, it's such a great movie.
There's no reason why you walk away from that film liking him so much, and yet you do. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I lean a little bit more towards Sleepless in Seattle.
I get that.
But no, I totally get You've Got Mail's appeal.
No one's going to mention like Da Vinci Code, no one's favorite, no one's top top three Tom Hanks films of all time.
Interrupt to say that on that note, Adeline says, my first was Big and still one of my top favorite actors. They do go on to say, if he's in it, you could trust that the movie is watchable, which I think is a, a good segue to talk about some of the deaths. Yeah.
You know, the weird thing is, when I watched Da Vinci Code, the movie, I actually still quite liked the novel and Angels and Demons. My problem with him in Da Vinci Code is not that I don't like him. I just don't think he's a good pick for that role. I don't think he's Robert Langdon. He doesn't really suit the vibe of the film.
Dan Brown didn't want him to be Robert Langdon.
No, and he has a really bad wig. I'm sorry, he does.
It's a role meant for Nicolas Cage, let's just say it.
Yes, we've circled around Nicolas Cage's hair.
It was made for him. It's probably from Nicolas Cage, who knows? But, you know, that's one of the... I think he has made a few movies where you cannot watch, honestly. Like, even though most of his movies are really, really good, some of his movies you just cannot sit through. Da Vinci Code is one of them. Angels and Demons.
So all three Da Vinci Code. I mean, all three Dan Brown adaptations then.
Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, and Inferno.
Inferno.
What's Inferno? Oh.
The third Inferno.
Okay, those are. The Circle, I think he did with Emma Watson.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about The Circle.
Wait, he also
plays against type, so I didn't watch it at all, but I'm pretty sure he's not playing a good guy in that one. Has anyone watched it?
That's a Joaquin Phoenix role. I mean, you can tell, like, I think they approached Joaquin Phoenix and he's like, no, I'm doing something else. And then they went for Tom Hanks. Mm. But that's another one of those movies. And Cloud Atlas. I mean, Cloud Atlas.
We're going to be getting into Cloud Atlas, I think, in just a bit. But I just want to say that a few people, so Amri is saying Sleepless in Seattle is way better than You've Got Mail. And similarly, we also have Faizat saying Sleepless in Seattle. And I want to make it clear that I am not objectively saying that You've Got Mail is a better movie than Sleepless in Seattle, because I don't think that.
But it's your movie.
That's the thing. Yeah. So if you ask me right now if I'm feeling unwell, you know, and I want a comfort watch, which one I'm going to watch, regardless of quality, it's going to be You've Got Mail. It's just the one I know. However, not making the argument that it's a better movie. I agree with you guys that Sleepless in Seattle is a superior film overall.
I don't think... I don't know. They're just... So, for instance, something like Splash, right? It makes me happy every time I watch it. I don't think it's the best made film ever. But there's just something about the way he is in that film that comforts me and makes me laugh. So I completely get it.
When you watch a Tom Hanks film, do you want to see an excellent performance, or do you want to be happy when watching the movie? Because when ranking our favorite Tom Hanks films, that was my conflict. I was like, I like The Green Mile. It doesn't make me happy. Mm. Catch Me If You Can makes me very happy. But is it a good Tom Hanks performance? Which it is, but is it better than Forrest Gump? So, you know what I mean? So
stuff
what do
like
you
that is why Castaway. That's why Castaway didn't make my list, even though his performance in it is amazing. It made me so sad. Even the ending made me sad.
Guys, how else do you explain a veering from Saving Private Ryan to You've Got Mail? You know, if not for this existential struggle. But keep those messages coming. We've still got some left to go through. We are asking you for your favorite Tom Hanks movies. After this, we're going to come back and just talk a little bit more about his career and in trying to understand, I think, in some ways, why it is that he's achieved what others have struggled to. So if you'd like to weigh in, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9. the business station.
We got a problem. We pushed the ship too hard. We're off the grid. That means the computer's now offline.
Captain.
The ship's broken.
Captain, no one get hurt if you don't play no game.
The ship's broken. We had to go.
Nobody gets hurt. Easy. Hey! Look at me.
Sure.
Look at me.
Sure.
I'm the captain now. You're like a bushman.
BFM 89.9, it's 8:21. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin and Sharmila. We're talking about Tom Hanks and the crazy variety that he's had in his career. And a good example of that, I think, is what we just heard, the transition from Wilson to the next time being on sea. I don't know if it's the next time, actually, but yeah, one of the next outings on sea being Captain Phillips.
So I never watched Captain Phillips, and I think I watched Sully. And because those films came out so close to each other, I realized the contrast between the characters and the way they are played are so different. Even from the clips I've seen, Captain Phillips is one that I keep thinking to myself I want to watch just because everything I've seen or heard about it is amazing.
It's wonderfully naturalistic for a pirate movie, right? For a movie that's fundamentally so action-packed, so tense, it's about piracy. I found the movie really lived in and natural, and I think everybody kind of contributes to that in a big way. Also, the handheld camera look.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Wasn't there like, I don't know where I heard this story, but wasn't there like a first responder who was in the set of the film or watched the film and said that the way Tom Hanks reacted, and I can't say to what because that again it spoils the film, but the way Tom Hanks acts in the film is so realistic that she has seen it in her work, like she's seen it on a daily basis, and he plays it so well that she didn't know if he was acting or not. And I'm picking this from, I've read this somewhere, I've heard it from some interview, but that's what happened on the set of Captain Phillips or when she watched the movie after that. And that's how good he is. And that's how well he plays the roles. I don't think he never overacts. That's one thing. He never puts on like a sort of like a loaded performance. He's always very natural with the way he plays his characters.
No, and don't you love how you hear these things and yet you don't hear him going around giving interviews about how he lived in a box to get into a character or I don't know, starved himself and slept inside an animal. Like, I don't...
You've spent a lot of time side-eyeing Leonardo DiCaprio in this episode. I think it's fair.
Which I'm is just... weird because I actually kind of like Leo. But my point being, for someone who gives such stellar performances on screen, we don't hear a lot of showboating around it. You know, I heard his interview on playing Mr. Rogers, and Jimmy Kimmel, I believe, was trying to get him to talk about, well, you know, did you kind of go swimming so that you could get into the role and so on? And he was so casual about it. He was just like, yeah, well, yeah, like, I love that. I really like that he doesn't make it sound like being an actor is the most challenging thing to do in the world.
He talks about it like a job.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Exactly. Yeah.
Loads of messages coming through. So some brief ones. Raj is saying Philadelphia, which I think we touched on earlier. Mm-hmm. Nini, also two movies we've mentioned, Forrest Gump and Castaway. And then we have Aduna literally saying this. Favorite Tom Hanks movie, The Terminal. How come nobody has mentioned it so far?
Oh, I love The Terminal.
I love The Terminal. Great choice.
Yes. And just as that happened, we also had this from Jody, who's saying the same thing, The Terminal. And I think this really speaks to what we were talking about earlier, which is choosing the top three is really hard.
Yes.
If you ask me whether I love The Terminal, of course I do. You know, I want him so badly to go get the Nike shoes. But if you want to put it in a top three, I find, I don't know, it didn't get there for me personally.
Yeah, and also because there's that difference between are you doing top three performances? Are you doing top three movies? Mm-mm. There's so many. And you could do a whole list of him as a supporting actor where he's also equally phenomenal. And yeah, it's a really tough pick, hence said existential crisis.
Shirley is saying, my first full Tom Hanks was Forrest Gump, and that formed a huge impression. I was 13 and just starting to watch serious movies. Also, Joe versus the Volcano doesn't get mentioned often enough, which is lovely, a deep cut. And then Shirley is also Arvin, are you ready for this? Are you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love Cloud Atlas. And I liked how Tom Hanks played against type in it, the selfish coward, instead of the hero.
There you go.
he didn't play against type. He played against himself. There were like way too many Hankses in a movie for his own good. That's all I'm going to say. That movie was weird. It's very weird.
It's by the Wachowskis. I think, you know, at any point, that's something to expect. But also with Cloud Atlas, I think that while Tom Hanks is good in it, I think that that's Ben Whishaw's movie. Whenever I think about Cloud mm-hmm. Atlas, the character, the person that I think of, the one who broke my heart, was Ben Whishaw. Mm.
I actually quite like Cloud Atlas. I love parts of it, actually. My thing is, it never comes to mind to me as a Tom Hanks movie. I think it's because he's playing so many characters. You never get a full lock on who you're kind of watching. But I don't think he did a bad job. I just don't think he did.
Yeah. He didn't. And as much as I hate Cloud Atlas, I'm glad that people like it. I'm honestly glad that people enjoy that film because he did put a lot of effort into it. And it's not easy having that much prosthetics and makeup to just shoot a film. And, you know, you can tell that it was like a passion project for the Wachowskis and for Tom Hanks as well to sign on. So I'm glad that people enjoyed it. It's just that it on my list of like most despised films, it's way up top. It's way too high.
I've made this argument to you in person on the show across the board. I think rewatch it. If you still hate it, that's cool. But a lot of people have benefited from rewatching Cloud Atlas.
Oh, no, I never finished it.
Oh, God.
I stopped halfway and I'm like, I am done. I'm tapping out. So maybe I should finish it.
We also have this from someone whose moniker is WMW. I loved him lip syncing Carly Rae Jepsen's I Really Like You music video.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a good call. Loads, really, really loads of messages. So we have, okay. Get ready for this. So Mamat Thaqif is here to defend The Da Vinci Code, saying Tom Hanks in The Da Vinci Code was amazing, guys. I saw it when I was in high school and his performance made me stick to the screen until the end.
I'm glad.
Yeah, I'm glad. It's one of those things. And also because The Da Vinci Code, whether in book form or in movie form, is made to be kind of a sensational blockbuster. Mm-hmm. So again, it's nice to have a sort of everyman anchoring the thing, even if the person in mind, I think, is closer to someone like Harrison Ford. Vivigan says, Captain Phillips is probably the only good Tom Hanks movie I've seen where Tom Hanks is outperformed by a supporting actor. Shout out to Barack. But that's more of a testament to Hanks' ability in it. The guy's a god, really. I would add on to that, Vivigan, and say that I think Bridge of Spies, he's actually out-acted by Mark Rylance.
Mm. I've not watched Bridge of Spies, but yeah, I keep hearing that. Mark Rylance is so good, though.
That's the thing. And and I think that you, how do I put it? I say out-acted, but really I think it was appropriately acted alongside. Maybe that's more accurate to say.
So I mentioned him as a supporting actor earlier, and one thing came to mind as I was thinking, and I think this is a good point in the show to bring this up. I think Tom Hanks is an incredibly generous actor. He shares the screen so well. So when you think of something like Captain Phillips, or you think of something like Catch Me If You Can, or all the different roles that he's played where he's had other actors alongside him, he's so generous. He never... he knows when to underplay it. He doesn't need to take charge of every scene. And I think that's why these things work so well.
He doesn't chew the scenery.
No.
At all. Like, he doesn't feel like you're shoehorning him into a scene, which is actually something I wanted to bring up in the start. Tom Hanks doesn't look like a typical Hollywood star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he looks like the everyday guy. Like, you could meet him on the street and you wouldn't peg him as a celebrity. And that's another reason why I think he works so well. Like, his acting does all the work for him. And it sort of carries him forward. But at the same time, he doesn't come off as unapproachable or unattainable or someone that you put on a way higher level, which does him, like, honestly, it works in his favor so much.
It works in his favor, but also I think if you could ever argue that Tom Hanks is in any way underrated, someone who's worth $350 million, who can get any movie off the ground just by saying, I'll do it. If there's any avenue to still say that he's an underrated actor, I think it is this. I think it is the fact that he comes off in an effortless, yes, you know, easy.
He makes it look too easy.
Which is the point that Sue is making, saying Tom Hanks is a successful actor because he works from the heart, is not pretentious, a thinking actor, no airs, down to earth. His acting seems so effortless. And I think we are living in an age now where for some reason people like to hear that actors put in a lot of effort. When you do still have a lot of, not a lot, but you do still have old school actors perhaps not making that kind of argument.
Well, yes, he certainly didn't send people dead rats or things like that.
Ah, and that's our stab at Jared Leto.
A bit in a snarky mood today. But I think it's that, like, sometimes you've got to remember that you do what you do because you're entertaining an audience. People don't necessarily care what you went through to make that role happen. Mm. They care how they engage with the role.
I mean, none of this is going to matter once John Wick 4 comes out. I'm just going to say The Rise of Baba Yaga. It's going to be like the biggest thing.
By the way, Nina, who we heard from earlier, said, would I want to see Tom Hanks get beaten up by John Wick? I so want to see that. That would be great. After Toy Story 4, this collaboration would be a killer, which is a good point. They did actually voice. Oh, we didn't talk about Toy Story at all. Now I'm sad. Anyway, but yes. Let us know, by the way, just the last few moments. Do you want to see a Tom Hanks Keanu Reeves mashup in John Wick 4 with Tom Hanks being the beaten up villain? Let us know.
This is not the direction I thought we'd go in.
To close the show, no less. Devin is saying, Road to Perdition, honestly thought it was going to be bad, but was really surprised. Danny says, Sleepless with Meg Ryan. And Sue is back to say, Castaway. I watched it with my parents when they were in their late 80s. They didn't know a single word of English, but I helped them understand what was happening to Tom Hanks and his unlikely companion, Wilson. I must have done a great job because my dear parents loved the movie. I was truly surprised and glad that they caught the emotions of Tom Hanks. And I got chills actually reading that message.
I know. But also, you know, it is a great movie for, I think, because of language, because there's so little dialogue in that film. So much of it is emotion and everyone can identify with that.
With being alone.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, just the body language. I think we haven't spoken about Tom Hanks's body language, which again is very natural and you know, he doesn't put on a show, but it is very important in different movies. He walks differently, he carries himself differently, and you can tell the kind of person he is in a film just by the way he sort of sits down, stands up, reads a newspaper. There is one particular scene I want to bring up in Greyhound, even though I didn't like that film. There is a scene where he's drinking coffee, so he's drinking out of a glass, and then the scene cuts, there's an edit, and then goes to the next scene, and you actually see him gulp coffee. Normally, there's no coffee there. Like, on set, if you want to look behind the scenes, he's not drinking anything, but Tom Hanks gulps because he remembers in his head he has to act like he's drinking coffee. And that's something that stuck with me a lot. It's like, only Tom Hanks, only someone on that level would do something like that to bring a level of realism to his films.
Mm. I think the body language thing is also really apparent in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, where he's just got the knack of playing Fred Rogers like a little bit like someone who's an alien, you know, just somebody who's slightly off key. And he wants us to get that Fred Rogers works because he's not quite like the rest of us.
Also, he frequently, and if you watch this, he frequently grasps his back.
Yes.
He walks as if his back hurts. And the thing is that Fred Rogers' back did hurt because he was a puppeteer. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the small things like that that just kind of really tie everything together.
The details.
Exactly. Exactly. So in closing, this love fest, we've mentioned time and again that it is a large filmography. So there are gaps, I think, in what we have and have not seen. What are you guys planning to catch up on with Tom Hanks?
Captain Phillips, I think.
Mm, yeah, that's a great
one. A new one. It's newer because I feel like I know more of his older stuff as well.
I think you've recommended Bridge of Spies a couple of times.
I thought you were going to say Cloud Atlas.
Got my hopes
Maybe
up.
Maybe next time. But Bridge of Spies, I haven't seen that yet. I've heard you say it a couple of times and I wanna check it out.
And I'm going to watch Apollo 13. I never have.
Oh,
and
nice.
I think that, you know, it's got that grand humanity saving feel that's just right for this time. Just also, we have this from Cash, who says, all in all, I'm really glad that he recovered from COVID-19.
Yes, so am I.
Yes, I think we all are. But yes, we've been talking today about Tom Hanks. Keep those thoughts coming. We love getting recommendations. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, write to us at movies@bfm.my. And you can also find us on our socials, both Twitter and Instagram. We are BFM Popcorn. You've been listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.